I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat? Come on!
Steamrolling into our final hour of the broadcast week. Glad you can be with us here on the Dory Monson Show. We are expecting the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing at 2:30 this afternoon, if they are on time, or even if they're late. We'll bring it to you live here on Cairo Radio because we don't censor what you hear. We give opinions, and you can choose to listen or disagree or not listen to the opinions. But we'll present you Jay Inslee, Donald Trump. We're on, unlike some radio stations, okay? Hey, by the way, if Nicole, if you could get a hold of the White House in the next 23 minutes, we could do them the biggest favor ever. I just saw this on Twitter. Are you there, Nicole?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
What's this favor?
And Sean, you might have to send a MP3 to whoever Nicole gets hold of at the White House.
Okay, okay? I can do that.
Our friend Matt Gilbert on Twitter, he has suggested that if Donald Trump at 2:30 on a Friday afternoon opened the coronavirus task force briefing with some dead mouse, then the election's over in November. If he comes out to dead mouse, then he wins in a landslide. And so if you can get a hold of the White House real quick, I mean, he's already got his highest approval ratings ever right now. And if you can get a hold of the White House and get that word to them, Nicole, and Sean, if you can get them the MP3, mm-hmm. Although I'm sure they could access it themselves, it's done.
I think
game over.
I think that Matt Gilbert needs to get out more.
Uh-huh.
When it's allowed.
I totally disagree. He's the one guy who's out there thinking. And trying to make a difference in America,
mm-hmm,
especially
mm-hmm.
If Trump comes out, like when Tracy Taylor and I danced to Dead Mouse, if Trump comes out and starts bouncing the way the Dory bounces,
oh my
he starts
gosh.
Moving
Can
it
you
to the
imagine
left, moving
the
it
people
to the
that
right.
that would go after him for not taking this seriously?
If Trump played it like the, what was that Saturday Night Live bit that he was on? Wasn't it the Trump fried chicken?
Oh,
I think it was his fried chicken.
Yeah,
and he came out dancing.
Mm-hmm.
If he did that to Dead Mouse today, he wins 80% of the vote in November.
I don't know about that. That would not be taking this situation seriously, like I said. Then you got everybody that's mad about that.
Make the call.
Okay, yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on it, Matt.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks. That's Matt's fault.
Thanks, Matt.
So just moments ago, here, let me get to the big lead here. You got a big lead liner for me, Sean?
He does.
I do. Would you like to hear that right now?
Love to, baby.
The big lead, top story.
Love, 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 baby. So Donald Trump just signed the $2.2 trillion Corona COVID-19 relief bill. This was pretty remarkable. Unanimous vote in the Senate. It's tough to get unanimity. I don't know who the abstentions were, but it was 96-0 for this package that'll get money to the unemployed Americans and to the business owners who are facing devastation.
And this needed to happen. And I've had a lot of people ask me, why are you for this story? You were absolutely against the bailout of the banks in 2008. And I really appreciate the question. And I hope you asked it sincerely, because I have very clearly thought out reasons. In 2008, during the election, both Barack Obama and Republican candidate John McCain announced that they were for that huge bailout package of the banks that were too big to fail, the investment houses and the rest. And the day that both Obama and McCain said, we support this, was the day I said I would never vote for either one of you. And I voted for the Libertarian candidate in 2008, who I believe was Bob Barr. But I was absolutely against a government bailout. But the reason I was against it was they were just propping up companies that had imploded because of their own, not just horrible decision-making, but criminal decision-making. And the types of loans that they were writing, and it was corporate America at its very worst. Now, fast forward 12 years to COVID-19, which has wiped out American business, large swaths of it, has wiped out millions of jobs already, and the worst is still to come with that. And it's not the fault of any of those businesses. And it's not the fault of any of those American workers who are out of a paycheck now. And if there was ever a time where I believe, and I've always believed in a social safety net, I am not an anarchist. I'm a small government guy. But the role of government is, you know, not to give health care to, you know, to 300 million people, including every illegal in the country. But if there are truly 8 million, 12 million who don't have health care or any possibility of getting it, I'd be fine if we crafted that system. And I do believe that we need to be there for our American brothers and sisters when they have fallen on hard times, when their problems are not of their own creation. And if they are of their own creation, I'm for treatment, mental health counseling, job training, the things that can help them pick themselves up. But in this case, this is anybody who tries to make any analogy between this and the financial bailout of 2008, I 100% disagree that there's any valid comparison. 2008, companies brought that on themselves, and we rewarded them for that. 2020, this was foisted upon us from communist China. And, you know, the day will come, and I think there will be good reason, probably weeks or months from now, to explore if this was just an accidentally transmitted disease that got out of control there in China, or if there was some more evil worldwide intent behind it. As I said, I think that that's a conversation that we need to have, and it certainly is a worldwide investigation that needs to be done. It's not even close to appropriate right now. But America, whether it was through innocence or malfeasance, America's under attack. And our workers are out of work. And of course we have to support them and lift them up. And so the president just moments ago signed this record $2.2 trillion COVID-19.
Republicans and Democrats for coming together, setting aside their differences and putting America first. This legislation provides for direct payments to individuals and unprecedented support to small businesses. We're going to keep our small businesses strong and our big businesses strong. And that's keeping our country strong and our jobs strong. This historic bill includes the following: $300 billion in direct cash payments will be available to every American citizen earning less than $99,000 per year, $3,400 for a typical family of four. So family of four, $3,400. And then $350 billion in job retention loans for small businesses with loan forgiveness available for businesses that continue paying their workers. The workers get paid. Approximately $250 billion in expanded unemployment benefits. The average worker who has lost his or her job will receive 100% of their salary for up to four full months. So things like this have never happened in our country. $500 billion in support for hard-hit industries with a ban on corporate stock buybacks. We don't let them buy back the stock. We don't let that happen. And tough limits on executive compensation. Over $100 billion to support our heroic doctors, nurses, and hospitals. And you see what's happening.
I like all of that, man. Companies can't use the money for stock buybacks. It's to keep their workers getting a paycheck when they otherwise may not have been able to. I love all of that. And there is one bit of news that seems to be emerging out of all of this. And the president said that he did have to use some executive powers on General
Motors. $1 billion for securing supplies under the Defense Protection Act. And as you know, I've enacted the act. We've used it three or four times. I pulled it back three times because the companies came through in the end. They didn't need the act. It's been great leverage. I have instituted it against General Electric. We thought we had a deal for 40,000 ventilators, and all of a sudden the 40,000 came down to 6,000. And then they talked about a higher price than we were discussing, so I didn't like it. So we did activate it with respect to General Motors, and hopefully maybe we won't even need the full activation. We'll find out. But we need the ventilators.
Okay, what does this mean for us here in Washington State? I'm just starting to get some details of what is in this COVID-19 bailout for Washington State specifically. We will get $1.6 billion for our coronavirus relief fund. Now, how all is going to be spent, we do not know, but $1.6 billion will cut Washington State for a coronavirus relief fund. $8 million to Washington for a child care development. Washington's also going to get about $12 million for community services block grants. That's for counties and cities to rapidly respond to the economic and health impacts. Low-income energy assistance program, $11 million for that.
Hey, Dory,
to help people who are out of work. Yes.
You're cutting out quite a bit, so we're going to try to fix something. Do you want to jump to the next big lead and play a couple of the cuts we were going to play, and we can try to fix your signal?
I'm cutting out.
A lot.
Yeah, I can do that. Oh, really? I wonder what's going on there.
Well,
okay.
It seems a little bit better.
How are we going to...
We're going to reconnect you. Well, if you want to play one of these cuts really quick, I think we could do it that quick.
Take a quick time out. We'll reconnect, and then I'll just walk it up to the bottom of the hour.
Sure.
How about if we
do that?
I like that even better. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I know that you guys have been very patient with us on... You know, this moderators have been just phenomenal as most hosts have moved to, you know, a home broadcast situation. But we get little glitches. Okay, quick timeout next, and the Dory Monson Show will continue. Right.
left, right, left, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Everybody now. Hop, 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 hop. Oh, man, I wish I was on camera. Got my wife, all three daughters, son-in-law, buddy. We are all rocking out to Deadmau5 here at 2:35 on a Friday afternoon. Have this standing by, Sean. Make sure we bump into the president with it whenever he walks out for the task force briefing in a couple of minutes here.
All righty.
Let's listen a little more. Let's listen a little more. Bring it up. Bring it up. This is Sean.
No, what is this?
This is my COVID jam.
It's
is
pretty
that disrespectful to have a COVID jam?
Well, not really. I mean, the producer DJ is named Deadmau5, so I mean, it's kind of topical.
Except, I don't believe rodents can catch it.
Right. No.
Here's the question I have, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know dogs can't catch it, but if say somebody were to, who's got COVID-19, were to pet Buddy, could he then carry it on his hair into the house?
Probably.
And then if I were to pet him, shoot. Okay.
Although I haven't seen that time. I've seen, you know, the list of how long it can survive on aluminum and, you know, granite and all of those, but I haven't seen on dogs.
Would you check to see how long COVID can survive on dog?
Yeah, I'm on that. Putting lots of time.
Buddy
into that
has pit. Already. Buddy's already gone for three long runs today. He is going to be so ready for this to be over, because with each succeeding run. You know, the first one of the day, he's popping around. My wife at 6:30 in the morning. He is popping. He's ready to go. Come on, let's do this. And then one daughter, it's like, all right, yeah, let's go for another run. And then my son-in-law, and it's like, really? I've already done two of these, man. And then he just got back from that, and he still probably has one or two ahead of him. He's had it. Because usually for Buddy, for, you know, 5-6 hours a day, he's just alone, watchdogging, ready to kill.
Yeah, you better take care of those joints, man.
I know. Believe me. I give him a massage every night.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've got some balm.
Have one of your daughters record that for me tonight, because we'll post that. You massaging your dog's joints.
My COVID doggy massage. That'd be adorable. Okay,
yeah.
Done. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little tutorial. Okay. How to give your dog a, you know, massage.
I'm going to put a little Ben Gay on him. I wonder, will you also check that for me? If I have to do anything so the Ben Gay can penetrate his fur. Does he have fur? Dogs don't have fur. Dogs have hair, right?
I believe they're called fur babies because they have fur. Some have hair. The non-hypoallergenic dogs, those probably are more hair. But otherwise, dogs have fur.
Would you just check and see if the fine people at Ben Gay have on their website any advice on how to get the Ben Gay to penetrate dogs' fur and or hair?
I'll add it to my list.
And prioritizing. Done with me for the week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're so done with me this week. Oh, man. Okay, should we do awesome audio here?
Yeah.
Is this of the entire week?
Yeah, it looks like we've got a little time left. They're supposed to be starting this press conference soon, but they're getting ready, okay. But they're not up there yet. So.
All right, let's do what we can here. Awesome audio of the week at number three. Mark Cuban, the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks and many, many, many other companies. Mark Cuban talking about how if his daughter
was one of those kids who was violating all the social distancing at spring break, he would have had something to say about that.
Number three.
I mean, I had to have the conversation with my 16-year-old in particular. I mean, when this all first started happening, I was like, well, I'm going over to my friend's house. No, you're not. Well, they can come over here. No, they can't. You don't understand. And you have to communicate to them and really make it clear. And literally, if one of my kids went out there and were partying in spring break, I would walk up to her, bend her over my knee. And I've never spanked my kids ever. And I have never have any intention of doing it. But I would pull down those pants and spank her right in front of all those spring breakers because it is criminal. You just can't do it.
That just sounded creepy. Can't pull down the pants of a 18, 19-year-old kid.
That's kind of funny.
I mean, I understand his point, but that...
It's about the
point. I kind of understand. I know, but it just came across so creepy. He also says he's not a fan of the president, but...
Are we maybe underestimating how Americans are viewing his handling of this crisis?
No, I mean, look, you know, he's doing the best he can. And here's what I'll say. And again, I'm not a fan of his, but what's real is real. When you have imperfect information, you make imperfect decisions. We're not in a ready, aim, fire mode. We're in a ready, fire, aim mode. And that makes it tough. And so no matter what he did, it's going to be wrong for some people. So I think it's the first time we've seen him actually defer to experts at some level. Now, he still goes off on tangents and he still rambles about things like he's prone to do. But, you know, we've seen some experts up on the podium. And even though we don't trust him or politicians, he's opened the door for some people we can trust, like a Dr. Fauci, who hopefully will return, and the head of FEMA and the Surgeon General. So he's never done that before. And I think that's been the difference.
And then you have Joe Biden, who has just been, man, babbling his way through. He's been trying to do some interviews from his house. But my goodness, things are not going or looking or sounding well for Uncle Joe.
Number two.
It's unfair to all of us, and it's unnecessary for all of us. But it's necessary in fact. It's necessary for all of us to have to deal with it.
It's unfair and unnecessary for all of us, but it's necessary.
And what we have done is the reason why most of the world has repaired to us, particularly after World War II, is because of who we are as a nation. We, the people, we hold these truths, etc. Sounds corny, but it's real. And that's why, that's why the vast majority of the nations have followed us.
We hold these truths, etc. Okay, and at number one, if you're listening, I've got a new feature on The Big Show. Checking in with my contacts during COVID. I'm just going through the contacts on my phone and just checking in with old friends that you might be interested in hearing from. Last hour, we spent a half hour with Bob Rivers, the morning show radio legend here in Seattle. He makes maple syrup on a farm in Vermont now. But Bob sent us he always did his twisted tunes, and his latest one was for what we're all dealing with right now.
Number one.
Oh yeah, you might have something. I hope you'll understand. Let's not do the dumb thing. Don't want to shake your hand. Don't want to shake your hand. Now go and wash those hands. Oh, please say to me, you washed up in the can and stay 6 feet away.
If you missed old Twisted Tunes on, where's Bob? Where all was he? KISW, KZOK, KJR.
That's by far my favorite Wash Your Hands song that we've heard.
I like it. Well, he said it was a Seattle guy who did all three tracks of vocals. What a talent. That sounded really good.
It does.
That was kind of the hallmark whenever Bob did a Twisted Tune was they really nailed the authenticity of it.
And I am posting that just on now our Facebook, hearing, by the way.
Oh, good. Yeah, so go check that out. Facebook.com/Dori Monson, DoriMonson. We are just getting word from the White House that the coronavirus task force briefing has been moved to the top of the hour, 3 o'clock. And you know what that means? You and I are going to get a couple more minutes together. Coming up next is the Dori Monson Show rolls on.
Coronavirus coverage. Go in depth.
You know what this puts me in the mood of, Sean DeTore?
No, I don't, Dori Monson.
You played this one before?
Yeah, I've played it a few times. I've had it for maybe a month in my quiver.
It's a little Miami Vice feel to it.
Okay, that's interesting because this is a mix-up of the or a mashup of the Stranger Things theme song as if it were being played by Tame Impala. There's a band called Tame Impala. I found this somewhere on the internet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish the Miami Vice fashions would come back.
You can make that happen, Dori. Why don't you just make that happen?
You know what? This summer, my crusade. I'm going to wear...
Wow, we're losing you.
Uh-oh,
good
Dori.
Here.
I'm breaking up?
We didn't hear what you were going to wear.
Yeah.
Really? How is it now?
Well,
I don't like this.
It kind of just keeps cutting
in and out.
It's
okay now?
Yes.
It's all right, right this moment.
Oh, man.
Tell us what you're wearing.
Okay. As soon as we get past this teen deal, go back to Sonny Crockett fashion, I'm going to wear a white linen suit, a pastel T-shirt underneath it. I'll already have grown my hair out like Sonny Crockett. And then shoes with no socks. And to me, that's the greatest fashion in the history of America, the 80s Miami Vice look. I'm going to bring it back.
I like that a lot.
I support it.
I tell you what, Dori, when this whole thing kind of blows over, you know, like the pandemic, I think that you should start dressing like Tubbs and or Crockett. And I have the Miami Vice theme on record so we can like... We can plan this all out. Like, I play the theme song as you walk into the camera frame. It's brilliant, Dori. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
making that video.
Yeah, I think I'm more a Crockett. Yeah, I think I'm more a Crockett than a Tubbs. But I'd like to get one of those. The car he had, I don't remember what it was. I think it was a Maserati, the black convertible that he had the first two seasons. And, that was the best. I've got about 40 episodes of Miami Vice on my DVR. I still love the show. It's timeless as far as I'm concerned. Okay, we're almost out of time. I wish I was timeless.
I think we should do this as a quick PSA.
No.
We got an email from a listener who said, Dori, you're a knucklehead. Do not put Bengay on your dog. It will burn his eyes, tongue, and genitals, which is probably true. So.
No, I went to canigiveMy.com. And the question was, can I put Bengay on my dog? And they said, if you don't use the ultra strength and make sure your dog doesn't lick it, it might be okay.
So
but they recommend
cone on him,
other...
No, let's not.
No, because dogs don't like the taste. Okay, look, I'm out of time. We'll bring you the Corona Task Force debriefing. Nicole Thompson, Sean DeTore, awesome all week. Thank you. Get some news. Get coronavirus at the White House. We won't get coronavirus. We'll get you to the White House. And have a great weekend. See you Monday. High noon. Hey,
this was just another day for me to overcome. My attitude is nothing can bring me down. And it's really easy to do that here, Rick. And you know this because I work with a man that also has no legs.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.